Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Ziggy Rodriguez sitting to my left.
That's me.
And right in front of me is Venerable Tom Dorian.
That sounded like a different kind of introduction.
So I'm keeping my eye on you. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't.
I'm watching you.
I'm happy.
Always
you both
watching.
Are here. This is a great day. Just to have a radio show, and so that's what we're doing.
It's a great day to be here, right, Ziggy?
Yeah.
We're in the presence.
That's exactly right. I don't know about that, but
Deacon Jeff.
I do know that we are in the midst of our Lenten experience, our Lenten journey. I hope Lent is going well for you. A couple of weeks in, the second Sunday of Lent.
And y'all look like you've lost some pounds.
No, I'm not trying to lose any pounds.
I have, but the
fasting.
No, yeah. I'm trying. I'm doing my best, but I'm not, you know.
Purposeful.
Not in that way. And there have been Lents where I will cut back on things that I like and that will affect my weight to some degree, but that's not my goal this year.
Gotcha.
I'm one of those people that kind of does a standard thing where I will do, like, I drink a lot of Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi. I'm just going to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I enjoy, right? I wish I had a Diet Coke button that
you
I could
drink
press.
Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi?
Yeah, I drink both of them.
I've never met anybody that did that.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Most people are like haters of the other.
That's the thing, but I see this as kind of like it's kind of like saints that bilocate.
Right. Yeah. I like that.
So I bicarbonate. So,
yeah. I guess that could be a miracle at some point.
Yeah, maybe it will be. I don't know. I just like both, and I like the variety.
Yeah.
But all that aside, so I usually don't. I usually give up carbonated. Prune whip is that's Ziggy's thing, you know. But I just give that up, and then also do sweets, right?
Okay.
And so I don't do sweets, and I don't do like the diet or any carbonated beverages. I give that up. Anything's got bubbles in it. So that's it for champagne until you know. I do that, and so I do that every year, and it I think it's effective for me.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone's got a little different story to tell. But I will say that sometimes there's a temptation for me to go like, I need to do something different this year. And it's interesting. So I actually weaved. I shall have been weaving and something new in. I just kind of am adding something. And it was based on happenstance. I happened to hear Pope Leo's message for Lent in 2026. So it was his first Lent, obviously, and so he had his message for Lent. I don't know that I've ever read a message for Lent from a Holy Father before, because they do it every year, right? They all put one out. Mm-hmm. And usually it's like, for Lent, we're going to pray more and more to praying the communion with the God. And it's like you think it's like the standard kind of stuff, and I don't get moved by it much. But
that sounded like JP2. That didn't sound like Pope
I don't know
Leo.
Who that was. I do not know who that was.
It was Pope Jeff.
It was a flashback
no,
of some sort.
If it's me, it's Pope Hilarious the Second.
Oh, that's right.
Pope Hilarious the Second. But here's the thing. I have never read the words of any Pope more than I've read a lot of John Paul II's writings, but really kind of most of it posthumously, just his collected works. I mean, because he's got so much. But even when he was the Holy Father, there were a lot of things that came out, like Veritatis Splendor. There were some documents I was reading going like, this is incredible, you know? And even then, I wouldn't necessarily read the entire document. I'd print it out, put it on my bedside, and I would read chunks of it or big pieces of it. And so I think he was someone I read a lot of. But Pope Leo, I've been reading and paying attention, mostly because I love the Vatican website. If you go to vatican.va, there's this big, giant picture of Pope Leo XIV on it. And underneath him, there's a button that says Magisterium. And when you click on that button, it takes you immediately to everything that he has said, written, promulgated in every, so every message, like every greeting, every meeting he's held that's been public where he promulgates something, any kind of apostolic exhortations, everything he does. And so I'd read a little snippet of a message for Lent that caught my eye that he came out with. So I went ahead and printed this out, and it's called Listening and Fasting, Lent as a Time of Conversion, which sounds pretty, it just sounds like pretty basic. Lent is a time of conversion. You know, you like think, okay. It's kind of like when the Bible says Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry, right? I'm thinking, yeah, it's kind of obvious, except I thought listening and fasting. Well, okay, there's a little something there because usually you hear the fasting and the, you hear the fasting and abstinence, you hear almsgiving and prayer, and here's like listening in there. And so I just wanted to read some snippets from it because it really affected me in terms of like what I'm going to do this Lent or what I've added to my Lenten disciplines. So he starts off, Lent is a time in which the church, guided by a sense of maternal care, invites us to place the mystery of God back in the center of our lives in order to find renewal in our faith and keep our hearts from being consumed by the anxieties and distractions of daily life. So pretty standard order stuff there. Pretty good, though. And it's like Lent is a good time to get back in with God, right? Get back into your spiritual wellness, I guess. And we Catholics typically do that by, you know, giving something up or doing something more, you know, in a sacrificial way or something like that during Lent, right? So Lent's a good time for that.
I like the line with maternal care, guided by a sense of maternal care.
I love the phrase Holy Mother Church. Mm-hmm. Like Mother Church, I say that every once in a while. People look at me like I have two heads or something nowadays because it's not something you hear all the time. But I do like where we view the church as our mother.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful image for the church. But then he divides this into two pieces, listening and fasting. And first he starts talking about listening. He said, this year I would first like to consider the importance of making room for the word through listening. The willingness to listen is the first way we demonstrate our desire to enter into relationship with someone. Now he goes on and he describes Moses and the burning bush and how the Lord, how God through the burning bush to Moses says, I've heard the cry of your people. So he talks about how the Lord sets an example. I've listened and I've heard the cry, right? And how we should all do that. And he goes on and says, our God is one who seeks to involve us. Even today, he shares with us what is in his heart. Because of this, listening to the word in the liturgy teaches us to listen to the truth of reality. And I love that line because how often do we go to Mass and we're not really listening? Mm-hmm. Right, so maybe Lent, one of the things you can do is like I'm gonna either prepare by reading the readings that are coming out in this Mass that I'm getting ready to go to, or I'm going to sit and I'm gonna actively listen. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple times I've gone where like I don't pay attention what the readings are until they come up and go like, okay, if I was going to like I'll do it like if I was going to preach on this, what would I say? Mm-hmm. But first, that makes me have to listen to the readings. Mm-hmm. So he sees value in that. And there's one little thing I underline. We must allow God to teach us how to listen as he does. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's pretty standard stuff. And I love the concept of listening more and something that we can actively do.
Well, and it relates also to a theme that we've talked about here at the Catholic Cafe about the difference between receiving and taking. And that receiving is a big part of the Christian life and what God is calling us to, whereas, you know, the world is, and our culture is really oriented towards taking, right? And you can see,
I'm going to get what I'm due. I'm going to get mine.
I'm going to get mine, right? And even you look at the book of Genesis, what is the serpent saying to Adam and Eve? Take and eat, you know, like, so it's talking about taking for yourself, you know, what you want as opposed to receiving. Because the thing is, when we're in receive mode, we're the goal when I talk about receive mode is being in receiving in communion with God, right? Receiving the good. God has, he created us to be good. He's creation itself is good, and he's surrounded us with good things. And we can sometimes, we can get thrown off if we build our life around goods of this earth.
So it's right? interesting you say this and you bring this up because it's a perfect transition into his next section, with it, which is fasting. He actually talks about that. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the fact that we need to focus on the receiving, because and if we're already full of things, then we don't receive, right? We can't. You can't. You don't have any. You don't have any. There's no cavities. There's no place to put the stuff you receive.
Yeah.
It's all. You're all full. Sorry, all full. Can't have any more. Can't listen. You know. And so he goes on in this second section, and he says, "If Lent is a time for listening, fasting is a concrete way to prepare ourselves to receive the Word of God. Abstaining from food as an is an ancient ascetic practice." That is essential on the path of conversion. Precisely because it involves the body, fasting makes it easier to recognize that we hunger, what we hunger for, and what we deem necessary for our sustenance. Moreover, it helps us to identify and order our appetites, which he puts in quotes, keeping our hunger and thirst for justice alive and freeing us from complacency. Thus, it teaches us to pray and act responsibly towards our neighbor. And he goes on some more about fasting and the importance of fasting, and St. Augustine and some other people and their view and understanding of this. And he kind of concludes that little section with, as a visible sign of our inner commitment to turn away from sin and evil with the help of grace, fasting must also include other forms of self-denial aimed at helping us to acquire a more sober lifestyle, since austerity alone makes the Christian life strong and authentic. So that's all beautifully said. But then this is the part that I heard that actually made me think, I need to try to do this. And this is something that I'm going to add to my regimen for Lent. In this regard, I would like to invite you to a very practical and frequently unappreciated form of abstinence, that of refraining from words that offend and hurt our neighbor. Let us begin by disarming our language, avoiding harsh words and rash judgment, refraining from slander and speaking ill of those who are not present and cannot defend themselves. Instead, let us strive to measure our words and cultivate kindness and respect in our families, among our friends, at work, in social media, in political debates, in the media, and in Christian communities. In this way, words of hatred will give way to words of hope and peace. And I'm like, that is some really profound information. And also, it was very convicting for me, because I said, I'm going to tell you this. So when I first heard that, then I went and looked up the whole quote so I could see it all in context. And I started reading it, and I think I was pretty convicted by this. Mm-hmm. And because I realized how many times I think I enjoy and maybe even revel in talking about other situations with other people and what they might do. And, you know, and sometimes I think it's like in jest. But I start realizing, and the big challenge for me is like, would I say that in front of the person? That's what really got me, is when he said, when we say things the way he said, speaking ill of those who are not present and cannot defend themselves. And I, since I've started this,
calumny.
Just in the last, just yeah, and that's a sin that's listed specifically in the catechism. I just started this a couple days ago, maybe 3-4 days ago, and I gotta tell you, I've caught myself yesterday probably 5 times going, okay, this is going down that path, I'm gonna stop.
I defended you, Sam, don't worry.
It was not about Sam. It could have been
whatever he says.
It could have been, but it wasn't.
Whatever he says, don't believe
it. No, I just don't. You just don't realize how many times you sit with a coworker and commiserate about some situation, which usually involves somebody and their errant way of handling something, and where you want to talk about, like, look, did you see when knucklehead such and so did such and such, you know, and you have a relationship with them. They're, you would call them a friend or someone that's in your orbit, you know. It's not like you don't like them, but you so quickly point things out. And so I caught myself like 5 times yesterday, and all 5 times. Now, I did not make a big thing like, I must recuse myself from this conversation, and I will no longer participate in your muddying of the waters. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, that's, I think, just as bad, because now you're judging the person who's sitting next to you, right, who you're doing this with, right? And you're just as guilty. So don't point your finger at them and say, how dare you lead me astray like that, you know? And the thing is just, I just owned up to it. It's like, yeah, honestly, I think he's trying. I think he's trying. So I'm going to give him some slack here, you know, and then kind of turn the conversation. And then I'm not trying to sound like, yeah, but he had some nice shoes on. You know, he really had, I'm not trying to do some kind of false, praise of that person or try to make up for it. But I'm just trying to temper what I'm saying. I'm trying to employ what the Holy Father is I think, asking all of us is like to sort of engage in a war on words versus a war of words where we essentially are, I'm just not going to do that anymore.
Well, I'm friends with the French knight from Monty Python and the
Holy Grail.
Oh,
are you? Yes.
So I need to show this to him, you know, though he may taunt me a second time.
Yeah. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries. Yes, I remember those all too well.
No, but, you know, so as I'm thinking about this, something that comes to mind is Bishop Barron. This is back when he was Robert Barron, Father Robert Barron. He gave a talk where he opened up saying, if I were...
I can't stand him. I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
That's funny. No, he was giving a talk.
I love Father Barron.
Bishop Barron, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on the show.
You know, we go way back.
He was on the show.
Twice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So he was saying that if you were a guru that were sitting on a mountain, right, and... you climb the mountain to learn like one thing, what would that one thing be? And he said it would be, God doesn't need you. God doesn't need you. And he said, like, the reason for this is that way that's so important is if God needed you, I mean, that would actually be bad news because he would have everything at his disposal to control you, right? And that he doesn't need you, which necessarily means that you have been loved into existence. And then after having people sit with that, he was like, now, does God get angry? And he's like, yes. But the difference between God and us sinners is that when God gets angry, he never gets angry for his own sake.
Which is why it's a righteous anger.
Right, a righteous anger.
There's good reason to be angry.
Well, and it's ordered towards
he's
our good.
He's angry for you,
it's
not against you.
He's angry for you, yeah. And it's for our good, right? And I remember, like, I used to go to my spiritual director / confessor, and I would bring up, you know, anger. And he was like, hold on. Anger's a gift. Anger tells you that something is wrong. So anger in itself is not necessarily sinful. It's how you are responding to and managing your anger. And as I've kind of reflected upon that, one of the things that I've really has been helpful for me, and this comes from Catholic teachings on forgiveness, that expectation and anger go hand in hand. You know, a lot of times we think in terms of, like, our expectations lead us to disappointment. Our expectations can also lead us to anger, right? And sometimes we reasonably have expectations, like, you know, like our you have a reasonable expectation to be treated with basic courtesy and respect,
yeah.
Right? You're not supposed to just sort of, like, check all expectations at the door. But at the same time, like, as expectations are not being met, you have to you have a moment there where you have to be you have to confront the fact that you're not in control of how these other people are going to to meet your expectations. You have control as to whether or not you're gonna manage those expectations and how you're going to respond when an expectation is not being met. And so I think that really being grounded and having that growing in a self-awareness of the expectations that we have of other people and of situations and of ourselves and being rooted in a humility to recognize that we are not in control. There's a limit as to what we can control, especially when it comes to others and that if we really want to, grow in our capacity to receive others and to not be governed by our anger, which a lot of times does come in the form of unmet expectations, we have to have a degree of openness as to how, as to the things that God permits. And when God permits stuff that goes against what we're wanting, like, we first take it to the Lord, right, and offer it to him, right? Because if there's some suffering that's happening to us, like, if our first move is to recognize that suffering and to offer it up in union with Christ. What did Christ on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Like, he was there receiving his sufferings in a spirit of forgiveness and love. And now that's, at the end of the day, growing into that, that's the whole point of our Christian life, right? I mean, that's not something that you just, like, grow into over time. But I think slowly growing, taking stock of the expectations that we have, having a healthy self-awareness, and including also keeping in mind, like, hey, is this expectation reasonable? Am I expecting too much of this person or of this situation?
Yeah, now, like you, what you have done here is you've taken this to this this grand philosophical and psychoanalytical level that I didn't even think about. And that's why you're on the show. So, you know, it's like I do appreciate that. When I look at this, I see this much more simply, and I'm actually saying that we live in the same realm and the same world, and sure. and these are good things. I'm just trying to move the needle because I recognize I have a problem, and I haven't thought about terms like expectations and woundedness and what I think I deserve and what that person did to me and holding on to grudges and all that kind of stuff. I'm more like, you know, we live in a rough and tumble world right now. And if you look at social media, if you spend any time in the news, I mean, basically everybody is degrading and berating the other.
Yes.
Right? It's just a nonstop process. And I'm thinking, this is really, it's a nonstop process, but it needs to stop.
Yeah.
We've got to stop it. And I'm going to start with myself. I think back. We were talking a little bit about just recently when the USA hockey team won gold, right? And we were commenting a little bit about how you know, it seemed like one side was unhappy, right, with the outcome, which I totally get and understand. But we were talking about, I guess, is Jack Hughes? Is that the guy that made the winning goal?
It is.
Yeah, the guy missing a tooth.
Which is teeth.
Classic hockey.
Front teeth.
Yeah, but classic hockey.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, his little impromptu, he was talking to a reporter afterwards, and his impromptu just, I'm just so proud to be an American today. And what he said and how he said it was like, it was right from the heart, but it was right what the world needs. And it was not about, like, we're so glad that we pounded them, that we got them in the where they need to be. I think we just, we used our strength and we did it. It was about, like, I just love being an American today. This is just awesome. This is just incredible. I'm just so happy. What a great day for our country. We playing for our country. And I'm like, okay, so this is beautiful. It's just like positive. And he could have been all kinds of negative. In fact, I will just say that there were other people that didn't do quite so well and said really negative things about how it should have been this and who was really the better team. And there were some problems that I just go, okay, I know that I can't fix them, but I recognize it more. And I recognize, especially in political speech, even people that I listen to regularly, I realize just how much hay they're making about the other side and what they're saying about them. And, oh, that person's a worthless. It's like, worthless? Oh, man, maybe you shouldn't have said that way. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I should see that as an opportunity for me to not start thinking that anybody that disagrees with me is worthless.
Or we can look at that Billy Joel song, "We Didn't Start the Fire." That's kind of not the point. We didn't start the fire. I mean, Adam and Eve started the fire. The question isn't whether we started the fire.
Are we throwing fuel on it?
Are we adding to it? Right. Have we added to the fire?
Or
I think most of us can say yes. We have in some way added to that fire. And at some point, it, you know, we're not being able to put it out all by ourselves, but we can make the choice to not add to it, and we can make it, and we can do our part to help bring down that heat.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. There is so much of an opportunity for each one of us to participate in some way, in a positive way, in our own, till our own garden and make sure that what we're doing is the right thing. And if enough people do that, you start to realize there'll be a noticeable change.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be something that happens that we go, like, hey, that was actually pretty cool how that worked out. Or maybe you don't notice it, but at the very least, pay attention to, like, the fact that you're not hearing a bunch of negative. You're only hearing positive. So I just love this message from the Holy Father. I as simple as it is, it's actually short. Go to Vatican.va, click on that magisterium button, and start to look and read The words of the Holy Father, right? Just start to take this stuff in, because just like one of the things I love about the concept of having a pope, the Holy Father, is not that every single word that comes out of his mouth is some infallible statement of faith, but that things that he says are kind of like, it's like dad's talking to us. We should pay attention because he has our best interest at heart. He wants us to go to heaven, and he's trying to figure out ways for us to do that. And so when he says these things, there's an element of truth in everything that he's saying. And sometimes his wisdom, you know, it's in the world, but it's not of the world. And I just think it helps us to start to pay attention. So read the words of the Holy Father, but especially this message of Pope Leo XIV for Lent 2026, listening and fasting Lent as a time of conversion. Easily found on the internet, easily discoverable, and then just print it out. And especially when, you know, you're in the middle of the day and you're, when you know you're getting ready to say something or do something, just read a few lines out of this thing, and all of a sudden you will. I think you'll be better for it. I think it's an opportunity for each one of us to broaden our horizons and to actually use Lent as a time to grow here. And he concludes, "Dear friends, let us ask for the grace of a Lent that leads us to greater attentiveness to God and to the least among us. Let us ask for the strength that comes from the type of fasting that also extends to our use of language, so that hurtful words may diminish and give way to greater space for the voice of others. Let us strive to make our communities places where the cry of those who suffer finds welcome, and listening opens paths towards liberation, making us ready and eager to contribute to building a civilization of love. I impart my heartfelt blessing upon all of you and your Lenten journey. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen."
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.